Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is AppSats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are AppSats certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and one that he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
And I am sitting in for AppSats, the organization that makes sure your partner needs are being met. And it's really such an honor to be working in this community and be helping women to figure out how they can be safe. And I was just doing an exercise with a partner earlier, and I asked her to identify 10 things that she, 10 personality adjectives that she felt she possessed prior to partner betrayal, right? And these can't be roles. This has to be words that describe your personality before discovery. And she did a really nice job with incredible words, words like courageous, sensitive, gentle, intuitive, empathetic. Like I said, I had her do 10. And then I said, hey, now it's time for you to come up with 10 words that describe you after betrayal, you know, after discovery. And this is a pretty healthy woman. And she came up with mostly negative words. I wish I had them right in front of me, and I don't. But I know that some of them were discouraged, hopeless, scared, weak. And then I asked her, well, come up with some positive words. Even though you're a partner, there are positive things about you today. And that took her a little bit longer. Now, the truth of the matter is, a betrayed partner is the same woman as the woman before discovery. But when you've been hit over the head with this kind of trauma, it feels like you've lost your power. You've lost your confidence. You've lost your ability to be positive. And so that exercise is a very special way that you can create a new intention for who you are and who you want to be. Come straight out of my Unleashing Your Power, Moving Beyond Partner Betrayal book. And what I tell partners is that they have to, once discovery has occurred, whether it's 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 decades after that, they have to be able to retrain their brain to recognize, notice, and affirm their self-esteem. Now, what does that mean? They have to remind themselves that they're gentle, or they're powerful, or they're courageous. And when they get in situations where they feel activated, they can use that good old reality affirmation that I talk about on the show, where they actually say, here's the reality. Even though I'm really afraid that my husband's distance may mean he's acting out. That's a reality. That's what she's dealing with right now. She thinks that. What I know to be true is that I'm an amazing woman, and I will get through this, and I will make smart choices. Okay, that's the affirmation. So do you get how this goes? You do let me just ask you, do you feel like you're in therapy right now with me? Or coaching? You know, I'm a therapist and a coach. And I ask you that because I really want you to learn how to retrain your brain. And what I believe is that you're out of your window of tolerance a lot of the time, which means that you don't want to be anxious, you don't want to be angry, you don't want to be sad, depressed. But those are the casualties of partner betrayal. Until you take charge very patiently and start working on yourself. And when you do that, I mean, you are your greatest cheerleader, right? And you can make a difference in how you feel about yourself and also how people see you. If there's one thing I learned, probably from my 50s on, is that I am a very wise woman, and I make really good decisions. And no matter what happens in my life, I can determine and choose how I attend to the drama, the trauma, the crisis, the problem, whatever. Now, we really know that that's a process. You can't just think it and make it happen, but if you keep practicing these skills, you will learn how to do it too. And if you decide that you don't want to be with him or her, depending on who the partner is, I was just reading a great manuscript from a male partner, and that's happening more and more, but I digress. If you decide that you don't want to be with him, or maybe you've already decided, maybe you've been alone for 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 years, you know, you can have a fulfilling life no matter what, but you have to get your mindset in that place. I may not be a partner, and I'm not. But I've had my own set of crises. I was menopausal at 28. Found out the day that I was having a baby shower for over 40 women for my best friend. And how ironic was that, right? Because I really, really, really wanted to have kids. Now, the truth of the matter is, I could have adopted, but I didn't marry till I was 44. So I didn't really, or maybe 42, I think it's 42, sorry about that. I didn't really want to have kids as a single parent. I know there are many, many people that can do that, and God bless them for having the patience to be able to do that. The truth of the matter is, if I use reframing and I look at my life and I say, I didn't have kids, I want to acknowledge that pain, but I also want to say, it has made me a heck of a good therapist. And it really has, because that's how I've devoted my time. All my clients are, if you will, part of my community. They may not be part of my family, but most of them I love dearly. Don't tell them, because you're not really supposed to love your clients, but I really do. And that includes a sex addict. I mean, I see things in him that you probably can't see. He's just got to get it together, get in good recovery, and start working those skills to help you heal. And if he's already out of your life, you know, he's still got to work those skills so that he can be the best person ever. Because the very skills that I teach men to do with their partners, I also teach men to do if they're single. You know, fortunately, those skills start with the person. You know, I talk a lot to people about really self-parenting well. You know, being kind and gentle, noticing positives, noticing the small stuff, progress, not perfection. And that's the same thing I would say to you. So here's your challenge for the week. What's going to occur in your week that could possibly feel overwhelming? And how can you take accountability for yourself and empower yourself to handle it differently? Perhaps with more confidence or self-assuredness. Maybe you'll feed yourself those reality affirmations we were just talking about, acknowledging the pain and then reminding yourself why you can get through it. But that is your challenge for the week until we meet next time. Now, I got to tell you, I have a wonderful guest. She comes on my show all the time. Just this week, I had a new client who said, oh, yeah, after Dr. Crystal is on your show, I contacted her about an intensive. And so, you know, I know that you love her. She is an APSATS therapist. She's a PhD, and she knows how marriages can be fatally wounded. And she helps them move from a place of woundedness to a place of healing. She conducts three-day marriage retreats and intensives for couples who have a consistent recovery path with sex addiction recovery and betrayal trauma recovery. And she knows that when you're ready to move from your woundedness to a place of healing, you may need some extra support. So we're going to be talking about that today. And I do want to welcome Dr. Crystal Hollenbeck to Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you, Dr. Crystal?
Hi, Carol. So nice to talk with you again today.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, you and I both know that working with couples can be very challenging, and yet probably 80 to 85% of our population, they do want to stay together and see if they can make it work. So tell me a little bit about what made you go into this field, and then what made you decide to concentrate on couples as your niche?
Well, Carol, it's interesting. When I was going to school to become a licensed therapist, I was doing an internship, a school internship, and people just started referring couples to me. I just started getting a large number of couples, and I realized I don't really have the resources to help with some of the issues that they're coming to see me for. So I first went to get a certification as a sex therapist. So I am actually an ASEX certified sex therapist. And then I realized that there are some issues here that just were not addressed in my training to be a sex therapist, which is very heavily influenced on sex positive. So I happened to have a classmate who had a friend that was a therapist who was a CSAT. And she said, hey, I'm going to go take this training. And she told me about it. And I said, oh my goodness, that's exactly what I think I need to take for some of these issues that I haven't been trained in. So I went and then became a CSAT. And then, of course, treating the problematic sexual behaviors and the sex addiction, really understanding that the partner is so traumatized. So I'm also actually a certified clinical trauma professional, and I also am certified in EMDR to treat the trauma. Then I became aware of the APSAT training, which is wonderful, just specific to the partners. So then I also got that additional training. And so all of it just came together so that I can really help couples to move from unhealthy sexuality to healthy sexuality. And then, of course, to treat the couples. I have additional training through Gottman, through Prepare and Enrich, and through additional college courses for treating couples modalities in general. So I really do. My specialties are relationships, trauma recovery, and anxiety management. And, of course, we know that trauma is an anxiety disorder.
Yeah. Would you tell our listening audience a little bit more about that, how trauma and anxiety are hand-in-hand problems?
Well, anxiety really is rooted in the what-ifs and the fear. And so when we look at trauma, you know, there's nothing that's actually a trauma. Trauma is our perspective, right? How we are impacted by something that's happened. So two people can experience something and one person be very traumatized and the other person not have much trauma associated with it. But when we look at trauma, any partner that we talk to, she's so overwhelmed, and the trauma is the anxiety. What don't I know? Who is this person that I thought I knew that I don't know? What if he does this again? You know, what's going to happen in the future? The fear of, is she safe? You know, one of the main things that we really focus on for the addict in relation to making the partner feel safe, right? Everything we talk about is to make her feel safe. Of course, safety is a mindset. It's not tangible, but we do everything we can tangibly and intangibly to help that partner to feel safe again. She all of a sudden doesn't feel safe. The person that she's been with, she finds out that he's done so many horrible things that she wasn't aware of. The lying makes you feel unsafe. So the anxiety related to it also entails intrusive thoughts, panic attacks, being overwhelmed physically. You know, trauma takes an impact on our brain, on our nervous system. You can't sleep. You can't eat. The PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress, that's the symptoms that the partner is experiencing when she has betrayal trauma. And so it's very overwhelming, you know, not knowing. It seems like your whole world is just turned upside down. I mean, how fearful is that? Everything you thought you knew now seems like none of it is true. So it's very, very overwhelming for the partner, but that's the anxiety related to the trauma.
Well, that's right. And so it's all wrapped up in severity and intensity. So somebody may suffer from anxiety, or they may suffer from generalized anxiety, or they may suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, which is filled in by anxiety, or they may even have complex post-traumatic stress. Can you share with our listening audience a little bit about complex PTSD?
Well, complex PTSD can be several things. It could be multiple traumatic events happening within a short amount of time that impact a person. And that could be maybe you discover that your husband has been betraying you sexually, and next week you find out that your mother has terminal cancer, or somebody close to you dies around the same time, or you lose your job. So when there's multiple major stressors happening at the same time, or traumatic events, a car accident, an illness, that could cause complex trauma. And then the other way that we see you have complex trauma is perhaps you have childhood trauma. Maybe you were sexually abused as a child or physically abused. Perhaps in your early adult life, you had some trauma take place and you never got healing for it. So then what happens when another traumatic incident happens, that makes it complex. So the impact on you is more complex. The healing process may take a little bit longer. And Carol, the best way that I can explain it is by woundedness. If you had a physical wound and it wasn't healing, right, and you were in pain and it wasn't healing, but you're trying to do life the best you can, and then you get another wound, right, it's gonna impact you on a more significant level because you were already wounded to begin with. But once you heal those wounds, then they turn into scars. And then we can actually live from a place of healing instead of living from a place of woundedness.
Oh, I know. Isn't it interesting that scars are actually tougher skin to protect the old wound, just like a broken bone repairs itself and is actually stronger as a result? And, you know, you and I both know, Crystal, we really want our partners to end up on the other side with post-traumatic growth, feeling stronger and healthier and more confident, having a good sense of boundaries and assertiveness and consequences. I mean, we just want them to know how to proceed, but that takes a while. And I think you really help partners by providing them couples counseling and couples intensives. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. When you're dealing with a wounded couple, how do you usually assess them and what are the options that you provide to them?
Well, it depends on where they are in their journey, Carol. So I have two different intensives. The first intensive would be to address the couple that is new to sex addiction recovery, or perhaps they've been trying to do recovery but never really had a structured program. So maybe the addict hasn't really been in doing the consistency of recovery, or perhaps the couple have been to marriage therapists or therapists that just aren't specializing in this area, so it's taken them longer to get the proper help that they need. Sometimes there's multiple discoveries. So we have discovery take place. The addict will convince her it's never going to happen again, minimize it. They move forward, so there's more time of the woundedness not being dealt with. Then it's discovered again that he's acting out. But wherever they are, I have a three-day intensive that what we do in that intensive is we do a full disclosure followed by a lie detector exam, impact statement, a restitution letter, and you leave with a solid written recovery plan. This intensive that we're talking about today, this is for couples that are already in a solid recovery. So in other words, that means that the betrayed partner has already had some EMDR therapy, been meeting with a therapist, has had some healing for her PTSD symptoms, educated on sex addiction. Also, that her husband is consistent in recovery, following his recovery plan, no relapses, making her feel safe. Once the partner feels safe enough to really focus on the marriage and there's a solid recovery plan being worked by the addict, then my second intensive is really helpful for the couple at this stage. This intensive really focuses on the first thing we do is we make sure that we review what your recovery plan is, that we have a solid one in place. And if there's anything we need to take a look at with that, we go ahead and adjust it or update it and make sure that's solid. Then we just focus the whole 3 days on the couple. We talk about communication, relational intimacy skills, conflict, partnering, parenting together if that's applicable, how we address extended family issues, We also really spend some time on healthy sexuality, how to grow and maintain a healthy sex life. It's really important that couples understand that their sex life is going to be very different once the addict is in recovery. And the reason for that is because he's never been present, honest, transparent, and valued the partner and himself sexually. So there's never really been sexual intimacy, because we know sex addiction is an intimacy disorder. So this couples intensive, this really focuses on building and maintaining a strong, healthy marriage that includes healthy sexuality. But the couple has to have some healing and good, consistent recovery in order to take that intensive.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so share with me the two or three issues for the first couple's retreat that you might be dealing with versus the second one. I mean, I heard you talk about sexuality, but what might a couple come in presenting with in intensive number one versus intensive number two?
Well, for the first intensive, it's really just the beginning of everything related to sex addiction recovery. So we're doing a full disclosure. So the partner is going to be hearing all of the information. And of course, we know that disclosure always includes new information for the partner. So we are doing the full disclosure. He's telling the truth for the first time. So that first intensive is really addressing the trauma related to sex addiction recovery in general, right? The addict is scared to death to tell his wife everything that he's done. He's so afraid that she's going to leave him. That's his worst fear. And of course, the partner is so afraid that she's going to hear something, that she's going to have to leave the marriage. She's so afraid that he's never going to stop doing what he's doing. So there's so much fear related to and confusion, and your world is turned upside down when you come to the first intensive. So my goal with that first intensive is to really calm your world down, right? You're educated on sex addiction. We have a structured plan to get you set up for what recovery looks like. So you leave feeling safer, more confident, and you have a plan to go forward. And then you need a little bit of time to actually work that recovery plan. So when the couple comes in then for the other intensive, boy, a lot of problems that couples will come into. Now that we're both really getting healthier and, you know, the husband is showing up and being present, now we have issues with communication. We have issues with partnering. We have issues with accountability. And, of course, the healthy sexuality is a large part of having a healthy relationship. Both people being valued, right? I have one couple that just did an intensive, and she was saying to me, he's never been kind to me. He's never treated me this way. When we went over the expectations of how he should be leaning into her and valuing her and communicating with her, she just said, I never even knew I could ask for those things from him. And so it really is about intimacy. The second intensive, once you're already in a good recovery, the second intensive is really focused on, now let's go build and have a fabulous marriage. Let's treat each other the way we're supposed to. Let's be open and honest and be able to talk about anything. And so I help them to set up for that, really to have intimacy at the core of their relationship in all areas.
Well, you know, you talk about intimacy, and that means so many things to so many people. Describe the kind of intimacy you would want to see built in a relationship that's experienced partner betrayal.
Oh, Carol, well, you know, there's so many things about intimacy that are so beautiful, and it needs to flow through the whole relationship. So, for example, in a healthy relationship, both people are valued, right? We know that when a person is very narcissistic, they're looking through the eyes of, I'm valuable and your only value is how you benefit me. And of course, when somebody who doesn't value themselves and they are what we call codependent, oftentimes they're the ones always trying to make everything okay, but they will be in the relationship that says, I'm not important, but you are. Healthy says, I'm important and so are you. We are both valued. Therefore, we both need to feel safe to say no and not be punished for it. We have to be able to have open and honest conversations about sex. Part of intimacy is, and you know this saying, into me you see, right? Intimacy is, I'm going to really take the risk of sharing my whole self with you, and I want to create safety for you to be able to share your whole self with me. So we're going to be discovering things together, enjoying each other, growing, being flexible, being compassionate with one another, being considerate, having fun, having romance. And there's also going to be strong accountability, right? Fidelity, transparency. But one of the things I think to remember about intimacy as well is that it's okay that we're different. We're not always going to see things alike. We are going to disagree. We are going to have different needs. We're going to have different likes and dislikes. And we have to be very mindful not to assume that you're going to be like me, right? And of course, Carol, you know, working with couples, that is my number one communication skill, is no assumptions. Because so many assumptions are made. Intimacy is, I'm not going to make assumptions. I'm going to ask. I want to know about you. I'm going to share things about myself with you so that you can know me. So the intimacy really is the foundation of all the work I think that we do to create and establish and maintain a really healthy marriage.
Well, I can see that. And, you know, thinking about what is a healthy marriage, I mean, obviously, a healthy marriage means that you put each other first, and but not to the degree that you are sacrificing your own needs. We know that it's all about good communication, and it's about honoring those parts, you know, the emotional, physical, sexual, social, spiritual parts of each other and blending them together. Now, you and I both have trained some with Gottman, and we know that in most cases, when people argue, when couples argue, they don't necessarily come back and work things out, but they don't hold baggage and hostility and anger about not having worked it out. And so often in these couples, when there's been this kind of fracturing, there's each emotion is intensified. So I wanted to ask you, as you work with couples, do you ever see them as a couple without having gone through the intensive?
Yes, I do. I don't think every couple has to take an intensive. I think you can do the same work in your regular therapy with your therapist over a period of time. So it doesn't all have to take place in an intensive. The reason that people like the intensives, I found, is, you know, our busy lives. And sometimes they like to just take that time out of their busy life and just focus on healing or focus on the relationship. And I'm a stickler. I really require you to check out from life. Like, I don't want you to watch television. I don't want you to be talking with your friends and family. I really want these 3 days to be focused on what we're doing. And so a lot of people like that. They feel like it's more benefit, but it's not really anything in addition to what your therapist, if they're trained well, can walk you through just over a period of a longer time. So I do both. I see couples and we do the same thing. We move from unhealthy to healthy over a period of time, and some will come and take my intensive. When you take the intensive, it doesn't mean that you've got to a place of, you know, oh, we're just, you know, so perfect now. We're in such a great place and it's just going to stay this way. After you leave the intensive, you do go back to your therapist. So if I'm not your therapist, I have a lot, people come from all over the United States to take my intensive. If I'm not your therapist, you go back to the therapist that you're seeing and you'll continue to do therapy so that you can apply the skills, maintain them, have some accountability for a while. But yes, you can do the same thing. My intensives really consist of taking months and months of therapy and putting it into a 3-day. And so that you're getting a lot of information at one time. And that's why after the intensive, of course, there needs to be some follow-up to for questions, you know, hey, we're applying this, we're trying this, you know, where are we having some challenges? So if you're not here in Florida to see me for afterwards, I send you back to whoever your therapist is then to continue. So you're not just
well,
left with a whole bunch of information.
And you are even, if I'm not mistaken, looking at getting your coaching degree so that you can assist some of these people with relationship coaching across state lines someday. Is that correct?
Well, you know, Carol, I am actually a certified life coach. So I hold both certifications. I'm a licensed mental health therapist, and I'm also a certified life coach. I'm actually also a certified telemental health therapist. But because the laws are not really clear, and Florida is pretty stringent that they want you to stay within the state of Florida, even though I am a coach, I'm also a therapist. So I stay under the guidelines of the therapist license, and I do not... Every once in a while, I will do a video session with people who they're getting ready to come to the intensive, or I might do one or two after, just as they're getting settled in with a therapist. But usually I try to do all video sessions. You would have to be a resident of Florida. And of course, I have a lot of clients that live here part-time and live in other states part-time. But as long as you have some type of established residence in Florida, then I can also do video sessions with you as well.
Got it. So if I could ask you, what do you believe that couples that come in to see you, what do you think they fear the most after partner betrayal? What are their greatest fears?
Well, in my experience for the partner, she really fears what she doesn't know, right? You find out this, then you find out that. Then your husband gives you a little bit of staggered disclosure here and there. You're so overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, what else? What else? What else is there? What don't I know? So that's one of the biggest fears that I see. And then, of course, the other fear is, will he be able to change? Will he be able to stop? Will he continue to betray me? So those are the two most prevalent fears. And, of course, there's a lot of little fears along the way. And then also for the husband, right? And we're, you know, I see, I also see addicts who are females and husbands who are partners. But for the sake of what we're talking about today, the husband would be the addict. And I also see that he comes into me. Probably the biggest fear that he has is my wife is going to leave me. I mean, I hear it right at the beginning, Crystal, if I tell her everything, she'll leave me. And I have to really explain to them that she can handle the truth. The partner can handle the truth. What she can't handle is continued deception. So we really work, that disclosure is really important for the partner to help with fears so that she feels like she's getting the whole truth. And then we do a lie detector exam. We do everything we can to get a baseline for the partner to feel like, okay, there's nothing else I don't know, because that's one of her biggest fears. What has he done? What am I going to get blindsided with? And then for him, of course, most of the people that I see, Carol, I'm not sure if you feel the same, if your experience is the same, but most men that come into me in sex addiction recovery is because they got caught and they want to save their marriage. That's what brings them in the door. So they're very afraid that their marriage is going to end. Then, of course, once they get into recovery, they realize, oh, this is about me. This is about me learning to walk in my integrity, learning to live an intentional living, learning to earn back my wife's trust and what I've done to her. But getting them in the door, they're really afraid that their wife is going to leave them. And so those are probably the biggest fears that I see.
You know, I absolutely agree with you. And I would say that the fear morphs, and I bet you see this in your second intensive, for the man, it is, will she ever get better? Because what he has seen is that he's caused all this collateral damage, and his greatest fear is that she won't get better, and he's going to have to watch her for years, maybe decades, carry the pain and the shame of partner betrayal. I'm wondering what kind of fears you see by the time they've gone through that disclosure, they've left with a good action plan, and they're trying to put things back together.
Well, you're exactly right, Carol. I mean, we spend a lot of time as therapists encouraging our clients because of their fears, right? So The addict, I am constantly encouraging him and reaffirming for him that she will heal, that she will heal, that she will be able to forgive him, that they can go on and have a beautiful relationship together. However, as far as being triggered or as far as ever forgetting what happened, that's unrealistic. She is going to have triggers for the rest of her life, but they will be fewer and far between. They will be less impactful, and you will be there to be a support to her for the rest of your life. You can handle this, right? It's not about you. It's about being there for her when she's experiencing pain. And also, you know, he's fearing, will I really be able to overcome this? Will I really be able to change? And I reassure him constantly, yes, you can change. Every person is capable of change. And if you work your recovery plan, you never will relapse. If you have a solid plan for intentional living, you're never going to relapse again. But if you don't work it, then of course you make yourself vulnerable to relapsing. And so we are trying to encourage the couple as we go forward to tell her, you know, she wonders, am I ever going to feel normal again? Am I ever going to be able to trust him? Yes, you will be able to trust him, but trust takes time. There's nothing that the addict can do to earn trust back quickly, because trust involves what you say and what you do line up. But the way that the addict can really help the partner is the more consistency he engages in, the more accountability that he engages in, which is very hard when you're new to recovery. I mean, accountability, I think, is the hardest thing that men have to deal with, because you've been doing what you want for so long. You do what you want, you say what you want, and now you have to really be accountable for everything. So it's a real challenge. But we are constantly encouraging them, yes, that trust can be rebuilt, all of those fears that they have. And this second intensive that I do that really addresses the couple going forward, this is where they get a lot of peace around their fears. In fact, I did an intensive with a couple who were doing a good recovery for about a year and a half, and they traveled from out of state to come and see me. And the third day of the intensive, he said to me, Crystal, I'm not going to say that yesterday with my wife was the best day of my life, but I'm telling you it was the best day in my 11-year marriage.
Wow.
So really being able to connect, yes.
Yeah, and you know, that is why we are in this business, because we can see this happen. Although I know that you and I feel the same way, the partner needs to begin to accept the positives in herself and also in him. And understandably, partners have these big, huge walls up. They're afraid to trust. They don't want to get hurt again. They're tired of being duped. And to trust again, even if it's a little bit, means that there's potentiality for further hurt. And so what do you say to a partner who you can really see is afraid to make that shift?
Well, you know, Carol, it is very scary. And I tell all partners, and I say it multiple times, there's a risk. There is a risk to stay in a marriage with someone who has a sex addiction. But there's also a risk to stay in every marriage, right? We don't know what's going to happen. Marriage is living day by day and present. It's not goal-oriented. You never get to a place in a relationship that you're fine, fine, fine to go, right? I believe that a healthy relationship is two people making a daily effort. And so I just remind partners that there absolutely is a risk that you take. One of the things that we talk about also is restitution, right? We also talk about the possibility of a postnup. So a postnuptial agreement can also give the wife a little bit more peace about the risk she's taking to stay in the marriage. So that if the marriage ends by your husband's acting out, you have signed a legal document, he has signed a legal document, it's just a postnup, no different than a prenup you sign before you get married. A postnup is something that you sign after you get married. And there can be stipulations in there that if it is discovered that he's acted out again, that when they get divorced, she gets an agreed upon amount of money in addition to the divorce settlement. So there are different ways, different things you can do that could make you feel safer. But honestly, Carol, our partners have to understand that there is a risk. It's a risk that they're taking. Nothing is 100%. However, also what I help partners understand is let's take a look at the evidence, right? I'm always bringing partners back to what is. If we see evidence that your husband is accountable and more honest and less narcissistic and kinder, and he's being accountable to you, he's doing the recovery work, he's done the 12 steps, he has a sponsor, you're seeing a difference, he's following through with the recommendations from the therapist as to what he should do with showing empathy, and he's educating himself. If we see consistent effort of intentional living, if we see consistent effort of you feeling safer, of you feeling like he's earning your trust back, that also is evidence that the risk you're taking is going to be worth it, right?
Oh, no.
However,
Crystal,
there is a risk.
Absolutely. There is a risk. You're looking and seeing evidence that he's doing all the right things. It really is worth your effort to begin that trust process. I can't thank you enough for sharing your wisdom with us. Now, I want to let everybody know, if you want to check out her intensives, you can go to her website, and that's www.crystalhollenbeck.com. That's CrystalHollenbeck.com. And they can call you at 407-408-6521, right?
Yes.
All right. And Crystal, you and I work so similarly. It's just exciting to hear your energy about keeping couples together and watching them heal. I so thank you for your time today. And I want you to keep us posted on all the nuances of the work you do, because you have a lot to offer partners and addicts alike. You've got a wealth of wisdom, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Carol, for all you're doing. It's always such a pleasure to talk with you.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, again, that's Crystal Hollenbeck. And as you can see, she did a fabulous job of helping you to understand that there is help. That's what we're here for. There is help no matter what you choose. And we'll see you back here next week. Now, there will only be one of you at all times, so I want you to fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. And don't forget, I want you to write those personality strengths out so that you learn how to retrain your brain.
AppSats.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.